With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but explained everything in private to his disciples. I speak to you this day in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The last few weeks in our gospel readings, Jesus has been going from village to village, teaching us about many things, teaching us how to live out his kingdom here in the world. In this long season of Trinity, our Lord gives us much teaching, but this is the first week in which we hear one of the very famous parables of our Lord. This week, myself and Jennifer Caruso, who comes to the service often, attended a talk by Dr. Samantha Nutt, the founder of War Child Canada. Since attending that talk earlier this week, I've been reflecting on it very much. Dr. Nutt was talking to us about all the world's problems, current refugee crisis, child soldiers, the number of illegal weapons in the world, and the plight of girls in countries in the Middle East and Africa that have had civil wars and warring factions for decades. Some of the statistics and stories that she told us of our time in Africa were quite shocking and downright horrific. It left us all sitting there thinking, how can any human being treat another human being in this way? She ended her talk to us by giving the audience some very practical suggestions about how we could help out this world in crisis. Simple things like how we use our money, what products we buy, and simply being informed about the small but violent conflicts that are happening all around the world. I sat there thinking, these suggestions are all well and good, but there is not enough money or goodwill in the world that would solve all these problems or issues. Something more is needed in this world. There is a much deeper problem going on. As some of you know, when I was in high school and university, I worked on political campaigns and wanted to get into politics. I went to university for political science, but at some point in my studies, I changed course because I came to the realization that this world needed something more than good public policy or money given to issues. I came to the very sad realization that there was a problem intrinsic to humanity, and that's why there are so many issues in the world. I came to the realization that no earthly government, economic system, no amount of money, no NGO could ever fix the world's problems, because it seemed that for every problem that was fixed, 10 new ones would arise. I came to the realization that there was a problem with the human heart, and that's why there are so many issues in the world. Think about it. There has never been a time in the history of the world when humanity has been on this planet that there has not been an armed conflict somewhere across the globe. And the kicker to all of this is that we have all the means in the world to fix the problems if we really wanted to. If we really wanted to, we could build a house for every homeless person. If we really wanted to, we could feed every hungry person on the face of the earth. So in the midst of all this, I found something else. I found Jesus and his church. I found a foretaste of the kingdom, of the next world, in which all things will be set right, we are told. And once I found this, I could offer it to other people. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it's not important to help the most vulnerable and those in our world who are facing difficult and in many cases horrific situations. And I think War Child does wonderful work around the world. Indeed, Christ commands us to clothe the naked, take care of the prisoner, the orphan, the widow, and the most vulnerable in our society. But we as people of faith should not stop there. As the church, we have something more to offer. Simply put, we have Jesus Christ. We have salvation. We have the kingdom of God, a foretaste of the world that is to come. We live in a church here in Canada where I am so often asked the question, what do we have to offer to the world anymore? We ask this question without realizing that we have so much to offer to this very hurting world. Everyone in this world, in the deepest region of their hearts, longs after God. As the psalmist says, as the deer pants after water, so I long after you, O God. And that is what we as the church should and can connect with. We do that by taking care of the most vulnerable in this world, by trying to fix the world's problems, but we also do it by being the church. We do it by offering the world salvation, a foretaste of the kingdom in the next world, knowing that some in our world, unfortunately, will never know a life where they don't face war, disease, or famine. So we offer them the place where we are told in Scripture, wars and famines will cease, and there will be no more tears in our eyes. We do that as the church by trying to live as a community following Jesus, where the truths of the kingdom found in Scripture can be found in us as a people. This is not an easy thing to do, but as I have been saying these last few weeks, this is what the season of Trinity is all about, learning to be more and more like Jesus in order to better live out the mission we are called to in the world. Today we hear two very famous parables from the Gospel of St. Mark, the parable of the growing seed and the parable of the mustard seed, both about the kingdom of God. First, Jesus tells us, the kingdom of God is like if someone takes seed and scatters it on the ground, goes about their life, and somehow the seed sprouts. The earth produces of itself. Jesus then moves on to another parable. He says the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of seeds on the earth, but when it grows, it becomes the largest of shrubs, so large, in fact, that birds can make nests in it. In these two parables today, our Lord is trying to tell us a couple of things. First, our smallest actions as individual Christians or as the church on behalf of Christ can change hearts and minds in the world and can grow into something great and beautiful. Helping the person down on their luck who comes into the church or whom we encounter on the street, visiting someone in the hospital, praying for a war-torn country, what we perceive as the smallest of actions can have a huge impact for the kingdom of God and on people's hearts and minds throughout the world. Secondly, Jesus is calling us as the church to get out into the world and scatter those seeds of salvation. Although it may grow by itself in people's hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are still called to be the ones that scatter that seed. It is not going to fall onto the ground by itself. You may have noticed that when you read the Bible or the Gospels and many parts of the Old Testament, there are many farming metaphors. Perhaps this is because of the time when Jesus was on earth, but also perhaps he is trying to tell us something about the world in which we live. We live in a world that is very fertile land for the kingdom of God. And as I say, look at the world around us. Look at history. There has never been a time in the world where there have not been human beings harming other human beings. Our world is fertile ground for the kingdom of God, for Jesus, the only thing that will change people's hearts and minds and make the world a better place now, but also offer people a foretaste of the world to come, which is better than anything that we can ever ask or imagine. The world is very fertile ground for hope in Jesus Christ that we as the church have to offer. That is what we have to offer. That is what we are selling, hope in Jesus Christ, a foretaste of the world to come. We as the church have the most important thing to offer in this hurting world, the world to come. We do that by our actions, by taking care of others, but also with our words and the offering of salvation in Christ. We are simply called by the gospel today to scatter the seeds of salvation. This seems like a massive challenge for the church, and we will not always do it perfectly, and there will be times when we mess up and when there are people whom we miss and do not reach. That is just part of the game. I will end my sermon today with a prayer someone shared with me this week called A Future Not Our Own, as I believe it sums up everything very nicely for us. It goes like this. It helps now and then to step back and take a long view. The kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it is even beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a tiny fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete, which is a way of saying the kingdom always lies beyond us. No statement says all that could be said. No prayer fully expresses our faith. No confession brings perfection. No pastoral visit brings wholeness. No program accomplishes the church's mission. No set of goals and objectives includes everything. This is what we are about. We plant the seeds that will one day grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything, and there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something, and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and to do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers, not master builders, ministers, and not messiahs. We are prophets of a future that is not our own. Amen.